Hear ye, good folk. You are cordially invited to the Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds at 1890 Briggs Street. Watch knights fight for their honor in armored combat. Enjoy lively Celtic and folk music. Feast like royalty and shop handcrafted treasures from artisans far and wide. Tickets are just $17 for adults, $15 for youth, 11 to 17, and kids 10 and under get in free. Get yours now at Eventbrite and skip the lines. The Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds. Huzzah!
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest-standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. From our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys, don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771 or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons. Premium offerings, unbeatable value just for you.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
This is retired Shasta County Supervisor Trish Clark. The Frontier Senior Center in Anderson needs you. Recent heavy rains brought to our attention that our 30-year-old roof is leaking, threatening a facility that serves our community seniors every single day. Join us on March 14th, dinner prepared by the Anderson Rotary, auction drawings, and a chance to make a real difference. For tickets, contact the Frontier Senior Center in Anderson today, 365-3254, or go to our webpage at frontierseniorcenter.com.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at O'Dell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. O'Dell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
Shasta College presents the 73rd Annual Student Art Exhibit through May 19th in the Shasta College Art Gallery. Come celebrate outstanding student artwork from across diverse media. Other events happening at Shasta College. Don't miss the live jazz concert at Shasta College March 27th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are still available. Also, get ready for the spring with Master Gardeners at Redding Your Garden coming up March 28th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Shasta College. Learn more at shastacollege.edu/events.
What? Homelessness? Poverty? Food? You know, we call it food insecurity. Drugs? And after all that money, after all those programs, all the press conferences, all the ribbon cuttings, all the glossy annual reports, all of the politicians claiming that, you know, this is the year we're going to fix this. Or they come up, you know, whether it's, you know, Gavin Newsom, who's got a 10-year program to end homelessness, or our current U.S. senator, one of our U.S. senators in Colorado, who used to be the mayor of Denver. He had a 10-year program that is now, I don't know, 20 or 30 years to end homelessness in Colorado. And, of course, it's gotten worse and worse and worse. So all everywhere, homelessness, poverty, food insecurity, drug addiction, everything. Every one of those problems are measurably demonstrably worse. Not better, worse. And I don't think it's by accident. It is, in fact, I believe, the business model. So let's start with the most fundamental question that we ought to ask. Is the money working? The answer to that is an unambiguous no. And the evidence comes not from, you know, a conservative think tank. It comes from our own government auditors, the General Accountability Office, all the state-level watchdogs who have spent years trying to figure out where the money went. So let's go to poverty first. The United States has spent, staggering sums on means-tested welfare programs ever since Lyndon Johnson declared his war on poverty back in 1964. By fiscal year 2024, the federal welfare budget, including SNAP, food, housing assistance, child nutrition, all the related programs, totaled exactly $1.048 trillion. So more than $1 trillion in a single year. Federal welfare spending now represents 16% of all federal spending. Now, here's the part where I want your blood to boil. Welfare spending per person that is in poverty has gone from $2,701 in 1969 to over $29,000 in 2024, all adjusted for inflation. So for a family of four, that's $116,856 in annual government expenditure. And the federal poverty threshold for a family of four is $32,130. In other words, we are spending nearly four times the poverty line on each poor family, and they're still poor. Now, if we simply wrote them a check, we would eliminate poverty by the federal government's own math. Instead, where does the money go? It disappears into the machine. The poverty rate itself tells the story, because after briefly falling in the late 1960s in response to some of the early anti-poverty programs, it has bounced somewhere between 10 and 15% for probably 50 years now. Stubbornly resistant to that trillions of dollars that we keep throwing at it. A program that costs $1 trillion a year but produces the same result, that's not a program at all. It's not a safety net. It's a sinkhole. And nowhere is that perverse incentive structure more, I think, nakedly on display than in the homelessness industry. In January of 2024, 274,224 Americans were living on the streets on any single night. That's the highest single night count ever recorded. Now, that milestone was reached after decades of ballooning federal spending. And when I say federal spending, that also includes the money that trickles down to the state and local governments. The federal government alone now proposes more than $10 billion annually in targeted homeless assistance. And that has more than doubled since just 2007. And yet, you see it, I see it, there's more homeless people than ever before. Now, California is the perfect laboratory for that experiment. California has the nation's largest homeless population, 187,000 people, last count I could find, and leads the nation not in solutions, but in expensive failures. Over 5 years, California has now burned through $24 billion on homelessness programs. They spent an estimated $42,000 per homeless person per year in parts of Los Angeles County. That's factoring in shelter operations, case management, administrative overhead, and then the figure balloons to $170,000 per person per year. Now, I don't know, I may be wrong about this, but I would think for $170,000 a year, you could house somebody in a luxury apartment in Beverly Hills and still have money left over for maybe a therapist, maybe even a personal chef. Instead, what's happening in California? the encampments just keep growing. Think about San Francisco for a moment. Homelessness spending exploded from $200 million in 2016 to $1.1 billion in 2021. That's more than a five-fold increase in 5 years. And the result? There's more homeless San Franciscans in 2022 than there was in 2015. In fact, 1,000 more. The city of San Francisco spent five times the money and got a worse outcome. That's not mismanagement. I think that's the system working exactly as designed. So in 2025, a group called the Capital Research Center did an investigation. They examined 759 nonprofit organizations that had filed amicus briefs in the Supreme Court case Grants Pass versus Johnson, arguing, by the way, the city should not be allowed to enforce anti-camping laws. So those 759 profits, not nonprofits, how much do you think they reported collecting? Well, hang tight and I'll tell you. I'll be right back.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I spent years living in fear of calcium oxalate crystal stones, always afraid of when the next one would hit. Now I just take Kidney Cop.
Battling calcium oxalate stones, it's time to try Kidney Cop, a doctor-recommended kidney supplement that has been shown in laboratory tests to reduce the growth rate of calcium oxalate crystals by 99%. Get KidneyCop today at Amazon.com, Walmart.com, or KidneyCop.com.
When people turn to telehealth for weight loss, they're looking for real support. That's why more people are choosing Orderly Meds. Orderly Meds connects you with real doctors and access to proven GLP-1 medications like semaglutide and tirzepatide. No guessing, just a more supportive experience. And all shipped directly to your door in discreet packaging. Do your research, ask questions, then visit OrderlyMeds.com/radio for an exclusive offer. That's OrderlyMeds.com/radio. Individual results may vary, not medical advice. Eligibility required. See site for details.
Welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Don't forget on your podcast app, search for and subscribe to The Situation with Michael Brown. The Situation with Michael Brown. Find that on your podcast app. Hit that subscribe button. Leave a 5-star review. And then that will automatically download all 5 days of the weekday program plus the weekend program. So we're talking about the poverty industrial complex. Because my theory, my contention is, we've set up a system that is feeding itself, not solving problems, not eliminating poverty, but keeping NGOs and nonprofits and other organizations alive with the lifeblood of taxpayer money. They don't want to solve. I mean, it would be like, oh, wait a minute. If we solve poverty, if we solve homelessness, we can't pay ourselves any salaries. We can't make any money. We can't give out contracts to our favorite people who then use some of the money from those contracts to then, you know, support the candidates that get elected to give us the money. It's a horrible, horrible system. And frankly, I'm fed up with it. So let's go back to the Capital Research Center. As I said, they examined 759 nonprofit organizations because they had filed amicus briefs, friend of the court briefs, in a Supreme Court case called Grants Pass versus Johnson. They were arguing, by the way, that cities should not be allowed to enforce these anti-camping laws. Those 759 nonprofits reported $9.1 billion in total revenue. At least $2.9 billion, or about a third, came directly from taxpayer-funded government grants. So they took your tax dollars, used those dollars to lobby against enforcement of the very laws that might actually reduce homelessness, and then what? They came back for more grants, and the problem got worse, so they came back for even more money. The mechanics of how the money gets absorbed shouldn't be mysterious. For example, one major Los Angeles area nonprofit, People Assisting the Homeless, their acronym is PATH, had total revenues of $47.7 million in a single reporting year and paid out of the $47.7 million in revenues, they paid out $25 million, or 52% of that in employee salaries before a single tent was struck or a single person housed. Executives at health-focused NGOs that are backed by your taxpayer dollars routinely earn seven-figure compensation. The president of the Research Triangle Institute earned over $1.4 million in 2024. The president of PATH, that LA group I told you about, the counterpart earned $703,405. Now, those are nonprofits, organized ostensibly not-for-profit, but somehow generating quite comfortable profits for the people that are running the nonprofit. It's interesting to think about where the money goes. And you think about, for example, Secretary of State Marco Rubio in announcing a new foreign aid model designed to cut out the NGO industrial complex. He described the old system this way. I think it's pretty surgical. Quote, we would go to a country and say we are going to help you with health care needs. And then we would drive over to Northern Virginia somewhere. We would find a non-government organization. We would give them all the money. And then only a percentage of the overall money ever actually reached the patients. Now, he was talking about foreign aid, but he could have been talking about any American city. And the most damning evidence that this system is designed to perpetuate rather than solve the problem is when you dig into it, there's a near total absence of accountability. There was a landmark California state audit. It was the first large-scale accounting of the state's homelessness spending. Found that 9 state agencies were administering more than 30 programs, every single one aimed at reducing homelessness. And the auditors evaluated 5 of those programs and found that most, quote, did such a poor job tracking their outcomes that it's virtually impossible to tell if they've been successful. For programs spending billions of dollars. It's impossible to tell, according to the auditors, whether they had any good outcome or not. Let's go to San Jose. They renewed an $8 million contract with a homelessness nonprofit based on wildly inflated data. Data the nonprofit that itself provided. But San Jose, the city, never verified the data. San Diego failed to track its funds completely. San Francisco paid $25 million to charities that were delinquent or suspended at the time of payment, and then another $65 million to nonprofits that were later declared actually ineligible for government funding. One of those organizations was run by Gwendolyn Westbrook. Oh, Gwendolyn, seems you have previously pleaded guilty to stealing from the Port of San Francisco, yet they hired her anyway. And guess what she did? Yes, past performance in this case is indicative of future performance. She stole again. Let's go up to Seattle. A $3 million homelessness contract was awarded to an organization whose subcontractors billed hundreds of thousands of dollars for minimal work and whose project lead was paid $300 an hour while publicly claiming to everybody, "Oh, I'm just a volunteer." Then another Seattle homeless nonprofit employed an unlicensed accountant to handle millions of dollars in government funds. So the Government Accountability Office, reviewing federal formula grants for homelessness, found that funding allocations didn't even account for actual homelessness rates. So states with relatively low homelessness received disproportionately high per capita funding. Connecticut, Louisiana. Among the lowest homelessness states, just happened to be among the highest per capita recipients of federal homelessness grants. Now, I don't think any of that is coincidence. When you don't have to prove that your program works in order to get your next check, well, then you're never going to build a system into your organization that shows that your program is actually working. What you do instead is you build a program that is designed to be renewed. So you make sure you are able to manipulate the data to show that, our program's working, even though the data shows that the problem's getting worse, and so you need more money. Where is the accountability? Where? Now, there's a feedback loop. Let me explain why that perpetuates this problem. I'll be right back.
Keep it right here. You've got The Weekend with Michael Brown.
I'm Boomer Esiason. My mom died from cancer. She was only 37 years old. She didn't have life insurance, and that was devastating for my family. That's why having life insurance is so important to me. Ethos makes it fast and easy. Get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with no medical exam.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money in refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The National Wild Turkey Federation's 27th Annual Redding Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is set for Saturday, March 14th at the Senior Citizen Center at 2290 Benton Drive. Doors open at 4:30 p.m., dinner at 6:30. To purchase tickets for the event, or if you'd like more information, contact Candy Muse at 530-526-8350 or online at nwtf.org/event.
At Plumas Bank, we understand business because we've grown alongside you in the communities we call home. We're proud to grow in Redding and excited to welcome Anderson and Red Bluff to the Plumas Bank family. With our new locations, your business gains expanded lending powers, more convenient locations, and more than 40 years of trusted community banking experience. Plumas Bank, building stronger communities. Learn more at plumasbank.com.
The only real estate agent I trust right here in Redding and Shasta County is Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate. Now, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
So what trends do you anticipate will shape the real estate market in 2026 based on what you've seen in late 2025? And how should buyers and sellers adjust their strategies accordingly?
Well, that's an excellent question, Sean. And I think what most experts are saying right now is that the first half of this year will probably be very similar to last year in terms of sales volume and performance. The difference and the separation might be in the second half of the year, where we might see sales volumes actually increasing over last year as lower interest rates and perhaps some momentum in the economy starts to kick in. And if you want to check the value of your home instantly, just go to reddinghomes.com. It's right there on the front page for you.
All right. Thanks for keeping us up to date. Go online to reddinghomes.com. That's Redding, R-E-D-D-I-N-G, homes.com, or just Google Josh Barker.
Hi, this is Carrie Grawl. This season marks a new chapter for Organic Pilates, a rebirth of sorts in a new, larger downtown space. Alongside it, we want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created as a natural extension of how we move and live with intention. We want to invite you in. Harmony and Organic Pilates, now open in downtown Reading. We're located at 1264 California Street in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to see you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Contracts to entities that are affiliated with that nonprofit. And then, with amazing consistency, they turn around and they use the taxpayer money that they've gotten to invest in the political ecosystem that keeps the grants flowing. It's a money laundering scheme. And it's perpetual. Let me give you an example. Los Angeles. Developers that get non-competing contracts to build homeless housing, they make political contributions to the very officials that award those contracts. ballot measures that expand homeless funding and the organizations administering that funding. Those ballot measures were actually championed by advocacy groups whose leadership stood to benefit financially. So then Los Angeles passes measures H and HHH. That required tax increases to fund homeless services. The people who opposed accountability measures called them socialistic. The people who supported them, well, they had six-figure salaries on the line. The American Affairs Journal did a detailed analysis in 2024. They described the mechanism very plainly. Here's what they said, and I quote, NGOs and nonprofits are awarded lucrative contracts resulting in public expenditures in the millions and billions of dollars, and then they work to support and elect the officials who will keep the gravy train rolling. And the poor, beleaguered taxpayers not only pay the freight for all this largesse, they also have to live with the problems that are not only never solved, but are actually exacerbated. That's the old instructions on the shampoo. Wash, rinse, repeat. Go back to the Capital Research Center. They found that a lot of these nonprofits now function as ideological and political actors. So they're opposing enforcement of things like anti-camping ordinances. They lobby against accountability requirements, and they frame any demand for any measurable outcome, well, now you're being cruel, or you're being racist. For example, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which boasts an endowment exceeding $700 million, was the second largest organization to file an amicus brief in the Grants Pass versus Johnson case, you know, where they were trying to allow to prohibit camping. So they used their vast taxpayer-subsidized resources to argue that cities should not be allowed to clear encampments. When the Supreme Court unanimously disagreed, the homeless industrial complex did not rethink their approach. They went looking for the next legal theory and the next funding cycle. They weren't going to give up. They're not going to quit. Now, before I go even further, because I think there's a design flaw in this, which I want to describe. But before I go to that, let's just pause for a moment. Are you asking yourself yet, where's the oversight? Where are the people that, you know, let's go back to the very beginning of the program. The SAVE Act. There they are, spending all of this time debating and not voting on something that 80 to 90% of Americans say, oh, yeah, we agree with that. You ought to be able to prove that you are a U.S. citizen and then show that valid government-issued photo ID to actually cast a ballot. They're spending all of this time not doing that and yet talking about it all the time on television. What are they doing about this? Nothing. Nothing at all. Now, I'm not going to say that none of them are, but honestly, name me some that are. Name me some that are really trying to break this cycle. Because, as I said, there truly is a feedback loop. It's money, power, creates a permanent problem. Where could you stop that problem? You could stop it in the United States Congress. But what are they doing? Not a damn thing. So that gets us to what I believe is a design flaw. It's not really a flaw. The essential insight that conventional political commentary always manages to miss is this. These programs do not fail despite their structure. They fail because of it. The funding model for an NGO-administered social services program creates a direct and perverse incentive to do what? To perpetuate the problem that they're trying to solve. So in most cases, an organization's grant is tied not to outcomes, not to how many people actually get out of homelessness or achieve sobriety or escape poverty, but it's always the number of people being served. What does that mean? Well, more homeless people means more clients. More clients means more funding. More funding means more salaries, more contracts, more subcontracts, more political contributions, more politicians who will champion the next round of funding. Meanwhile, the homeless and the poor, the addicted, they're not customers of this system. They're the raw material. They're the raw material in an industrial complex. What do you need to keep that cycle going? Well, you need homeless people. You need addicted people. You need poor people. And so as long as you keep creating more of them, you keep that cycle going. And what and remember, in that circle, the cycle that I'm talking about, where's the money coming from? Out of your pocket. Who's taking it out of your pocket? And I know the IRS takes it out of your pocket, but who tells the IRS to take it out of your pocket? Congress does. And then Congress not only tells them to take it out of your pocket, then they tell the Office of Management and Budget, the executive branch, where to send that money. So then somebody like Trump comes along, enacts DOGE, and says, let's go find out where all this fraud's going on, and let's try to clean it up. They drive Elon Musk and DOGE out of town. The deep state has as much to benefit as the nonprofits that are getting the money from the federal government or the state agencies that get it from the federal government that goes to the state agencies that goes to the local agencies. We've got to break this cycle. And it starts with somebody at the top saying, oh, look, let's look down here at what's going on and let's break this. Why won't that happen? Now, we'll get to, I want to finish the cycle in a minute and get to a verdict in a minute. But before we do, just ask yourself, why won't that happen? One word, maybe two words. Uncaring and racist. If you want to break the cycle and you want to eliminate the funding and say if you want to take care of homelessness or poverty or drug addiction or anything else, then go find the private sector money somewhere. No. You're a racist. You're an uncaring SOB because you want to cut off the federal funding. And thus, those that run for Congress or the Senate, they won't do anything. They won't do anything at all. They're worthless. So, I don't think this is a cynical theory. I think it's a description of an incentive structure. An incentive structure that produces predictable behavior. So when your next contract depends on the problem still existing, you don't solve the problem. You manage the problem. You document the problem. You absolutely document the problem. You want to make sure that that problem continues to exist. You'll hold a conference about it. You'll hold, you know, a seminar about it. You'll publish reports. You'll have really impressive graphs about it, everything you do. And you do everything except what? Fix the problem. You're never going to do that because if you fix the problem, your raw material disappears. Wouldn't that be a good thing? To actually lift people out of poverty, to actually lift people out of homelessness, to actually help them cure their drug addiction. Before I get to, let me just tease the verdict, and we'll take a break. The verdict I would say is this: that's never going to happen, because the politicians use that money to get elected, and they're scared of being called racist or uncaring. And nobody wants to turn it over to the private sector, because if you're a private donor, not being forced by the IRS, if you're a private donor that's going to give $10, $100, $10,000 to an organization that says it's going to solve homelessness or fix addiction, what are you going to do? You're going to want to see results. Hey, for my $10,000, or for my $100, or for my $10, tell me what that accomplished. What did you spend it on? Because you will demand accountability. But once the IRS takes it out of your back pocket in taxes and it goes into that big giant machine in D.C., goes into the sinkhole in D.C., nobody cares. So what's the verdict? That's next. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
A Social Security update. 70 million Americans collect Social Security benefits today, and millions more will join soon. Now, a new study finds 70% of Americans don't get the full benefits they deserve. But recipients can use simple strategies to boost Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Social Security expert Michael Allen says it's true and reveals five key strategies to increase your benefits. It's all in his free special report. Newsmax calls the report your best guide for bigger Social Security benefits. Whether you're getting benefits or soon will, you need the Social Security report. Get it free. Call 800-999-9690. 800-999-9690. We'll text it to you right away, along with President Trump's act cutting your Social Security taxes. Call now, 800-999-9690. 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply.
Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros.
Mandina's Cabinets in Anderson designs custom kitchens, bathrooms, and offices that no big box store can match. They are the local pros who know.
Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros who know. Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros.
530-365-8108 or visit mandinascabinets.com.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
As a thank you for your outstanding service, Wind River Resort and Casino would like to honor you with our Military Monday promotion. Join us every Monday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to receive your dining discounts and free slot play. Active or retired military members can present their military ID at the River Club to be entered into this weekly promotion. For more details, download the Wind River app or visit windriver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Experience the Shasta Symphony Orchestra's Spring Concert, Saturday, April 25th at 3 p.m. at the Shasta College Theater. Tickets are $15 general admission, $10 for seniors and wheelchair accessible, $5 for students with ID. More information can be found at shastacollege.edu/events.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Oliva Melano Maduro. From the verdant fields of Jalapa, Nicaragua, comes an epic 95-rated cigar, wrapped in a Maduro leaf from San Andres. Expect notes of espresso, anise, and walnut liqueur. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, I'm Dr. Marie Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Marie Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
Welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. I appreciate you tuning in. I know that you have other things you can do on the weekend. And whether you listen live, your affiliate delays it, plays it later in the day or tomorrow, or you listen on the podcast, however you listen to the program, I appreciate it. So let, you know, your local affiliate or somebody know, spread the word and help us keep growing the program. I don't think the evidence is in dispute. The federal government spends $1 trillion annually on poverty programs. And still, poverty persists. We spend billions on homelessness. And homelessness has reached record levels. I gave California as an example. I could have picked any state, but I like to pick on California. California spent $24 billion on homelessness in 5 years and has more homeless people than it started with. San Francisco multiplied its homelessness budget fivefold, and the problem still got worse. Government audits, even when they do audit, can't determine if programs are working because the programs themselves don't track outcomes. Now, stop and think about that before I go in any further. If the Government Accountability Office or an inspector general or even any outside organization is doing an audit and says, you're not even tracking outcomes. If we just wanted to do a little step-by-step, inch-by-inch approach, how about you just show the efficacy of your program? How about you just show that for the bazillion dollars we gave you, you reduced homelessness by X? Now, I know they can still fudge the numbers. But at least the threat of an audit, the threat of some accountability, the threat of some senator or congressman looking over your shoulder might cause you to say to your board of directors, hey, we ought to have some sort of accountability here. When government audits can't determine if the programs are working because they're not tracking outcomes, isn't that a red flag? And then contracts get renewed regardless of performance. Then all these nonprofits earning billions in government grants use those funds to lobby against enforcement and accountability. And when they use the funds to lobby against enforcement and accountability, let's take it one more step. They also use those same monies to make political contributions, or they'll give, you know, here's the other dirty way it works. I really want you to understand this. So let's say it's a 501c3. Well, they really can't engage, technically, in political activities. But what they can do is they can award a contract to provide something. You know, a vendor that's providing internet services or janitorial services. I mean, it can be that mundane. But they provide that to a friendly vendor who then knows to make a political contribution to the candidate or to the person in office of that nonprofit's choice. And they know where it comes from. They know precisely where that money comes from. You got a $10,000 contribution from XYZ Janitorial Services, you're going to have somebody on your staff track where that money came. Oh, they provide janitorial services to XYZ homeless nonprofit organization, and you don't want them to come after you for being, you know, racist or you don't care about homeless people. That's how it works inside the Beltway. And then the executives that are running those organizations earn those seven-figure salaries while their frontline workers qualify for the very services that they're providing. Think about that. Oh, you are working for a anti-poverty organization, and you're being paid poverty-level wages. Wow. It's such a scam. This is not a failure of compassion. Americans are the most compassionate people in the world. The American taxpayer has shown extraordinary compassion, funding these programs year after year after year in good faith. It's a design failure, and the design is not accidental. It's the logical product of a system in which the incentive is to sustain the problem. The accountability is non-existent, and the political feedback loop rewards spending over results. At some point, I don't know how, but at some point, enough people have to get and understand this machine, this industry. If you understand how Apple works, if you understand how Coca-Cola works, if you understand how your local grocery store works, then you can understand how this works. If you understand how your local tire shop, your local auto dealer, if you understand how some, you know, you have a neighbor that's a sole proprietor, they got a small business, they employ 5, 6, maybe 10 people. You understand how their business works, how they manufacture whatever they manufacture, whatever service they provide. If you can understand that, you can understand this. And if you can understand this, you can start raising Cain about it. You can start going to those yahoos inside the Beltway, or at your state legislature, or at your city council, and say, where's the accountability? Show me the results. And if you can't show me the results, explain to me why you can't show me the results, and show me how you're going to put a system in place to show me the results. I know everybody's busy. Everybody's got their own concerns. Everybody has their own problems. But we can't let this keep going, because if we let this keep going, well, the Republic is doomed. Eisenhower warned us very plainly about the military-industrial complex, that unholy alliance of government spending, institutional inertia, the political self-interest that makes problems permanent because permanence becomes profitable. What has grown up around homelessness, poverty, addiction in this country is the domestic equivalent. An interlocking network of government agencies, nonprofit organizations, political donors, developers, ideological advocates, all who have transformed human suffering into a sustainable revenue stream. Yes. Who's being absolutely non-compassionate? The people that support this. The losers, as always, are two groups who have no seat at the table. The taxpayers who fund it, and the poor souls at the bottom whose misery is their raw material. Start demanding outcomes. Everybody have a great weekend. I'll see you next weekend.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
I'm Boomer Esiason. My mom died from cancer. She was only 37 years old. She didn't have life insurance, and that was devastating for my family. That's why having life insurance is so important to me. Ethos makes it fast and easy. Get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with no medical exam.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
When people turn to telehealth for weight loss, they're looking for real support. That's why more people are choosing Orderly Meds. Orderly Meds connects you with real doctors and access to proven GLP-1 medications like semaglutide and tirzepatide. No guessing, just a more supportive experience. And all shipped directly to your door in discreet packaging. Do your research, ask questions, then visit orderlymeds.com/radio for an exclusive offer. That's orderlymeds.com/radio. Individual results. Results may vary, not medical advice. Eligibility required. See site for details.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits, and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.